Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop from Washington. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. And I have done debates, liberal, conservative debates, Democratic, Republican debates, well, for, I guess, all my life. But in Washington, D.C., I've done it now for, about 15 years. Maybe a little bit longer. Started when I was working for Congressman Barney Frank in 2001, 2002. I do them for the Close Up Foundation, which is a nonpartisan foundation that's really good and brings kids from all across the country to Washington, D.C. And I mean all across the country. I still remember the kid from Unalaska, Alaska, which is on the Aleutian Islands. But Alaska, Texas, Florida, New York, Colorado, North Carolina, you name it. They come from across the country to learn what Washington is all about. And Close Up, to its credit, doesn't just show them the White House, the Capitol, the Supreme Court. It actually involves them in the political debates of the day. It suggests to them that they should have a position on the deficit, for example, or on spending for Social Security, or on abortion, or gun regulation, or gay civil rights, or anything like that. And I get involved in these debates. Like I said, I've done them dating back to the Bush administration. And I get used to hearing from the conservative speakers what they say their party, the Republican Party, is all about. When Democrats think about the Republican Party, many of us think about, well, what Hillary Clinton called the deplorables, right? The racists, the homophobes, the theocrats, the people who want to impose a specific religion on the nation, people who want white privilege, people who want to harm gay people, people who want women not to have reproductive freedom. We think about it oftentimes in those terms. Probably won't surprise you that the conservatives never talk about the Republican Party in those terms, in the terms that might appeal to the deplorables, to the evangelical, racist, white, homophobic, misogynist wing of their party. That's not what they want to talk about. No, they always, and I've done more than 100 of these debates, they always talk about small government. They're the party of small government. Democrats are the party of big government. Republicans want small government. Government's so small, Grover Norquist famously said, that you could drown it in a bathtub. Or as Ronald Reagan famously said, and really he's the one who's brought about this whole big government, Republicans hate big government idea in the modern era. He said that the most dangerous words you'll ever hear is, hi, I'm here from the government and I'm here to help you. So Republicans have taught for decades now. I mean, Reagan's from the 80s. So we're talking about more than a generation. Republicans have said, we're the party of small government. Government is bad. You can't trust the government. Government is going to mess everything up. And that's what they say out loud. And the dog whistle is, well, government is really all about helping, you know, those people. And those people can be poor people, it can be black people, it can be Latino people, it can be immigrants, it can be women, it can be anyone but you, I suppose. But let's deal with the Republican rhetoric as they've given it, particularly at a time today when it now shows all to be massive hypocrisy. Republicans claim that they believed in small government. They did not believe in debt. They talk about the deficit as a terrible thing. And they said that what they want is a government that's paid for. They're fiscal conservatives. Some people even claim that they're libertarians because they are fiscally conservative and socially liberal. And what is a fiscal conservative? Well, that's someone who doesn't want things like Social Security or Medicare or Medicaid or government health care or government spending money on roads or infrastructure or bridges, to the perfect Ayn Randian philosophy. And by the way, it's just, if you don't know, Ayn Rand was a author in the 1940s, 50s, one who Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, famously loves her work and hands out her book to everyone. Her book, Atlas Shrugged, is probably the most famous. A lot of young libertarians love that book. And the book all talks about the virtue of selfishness, how we are all going to be better off if we just look out for ourselves and not for anyone else. That looking out for your neighbor, as, I don't know, the Christian religion teaches, as the Jewish religion teaches, as the Muslim religion teaches, you know, loving thy neighbor as thyself, that's just stupid. You're a fool if you look out for your neighbor. Just look out for yourself and everything will work out just fine. That, they would argue, is free market capitalism at its best. And there's a strain that has always been this way in the Republican Party. I mean, ever Republican Party, remember, famously opposed Social Security, ran the entire 1936 election against the New Deal, against Franklin Roosevelt, and famously lost 46 states to two in the landslide of 1936. Alf Landon attacking Social Security didn't go very far. Why am I bringing up all this ancient history, all this philosophy? Because the Republican Party showed their true colors yesterday. That they don't give a damn about the deficit. They never have, actually. They don't give a damn about small government. They never have, actually. They don't give a damn about the debt. Nope, not something they care about. They love big government, as long as it goes to their priorities. So all this ridiculous rhetoric about caring about localities, it's all false. It's all hypocrisy. And I remember arguing that, and have been arguing that for 10, 15 years, but There's a certain beguilingness to this rhetoric, right? We're for small government. We're for self-reliance. We're the America of the Wild West, you know, where you go and you pack your gun and you just defend yourself. And there is no question a strong individualistic streak in America, as you would expect. We are a nation of immigrants. We're a nation that escaped many times oppressive governments. And so we have this anarchic strain where we're just going to take care of ourselves. So I get where the rhetoric comes from. But the reality has never been that way. You could just look at deficits, for example. Would it surprise you to know that deficits always go up, way up under Republicans, presidents, and always go way down under Democratic presidents? That Ronald Reagan, the patron saint of conservatives, ran up the highest deficit ever in American history year after year after year. That's what his tax cuts to the wealthy did. It drove a big hole in our deficit. George Bush Sr., who actually raised taxes to cut Reagan's deficit, was pilloried by conservatives. Read my lips, no new taxes, you're out of here. Bill Clinton, of course, gave us the greatest surplus of modern times, took us all the way from deficit to surplus. The greatest fiscally conservative president, certainly post-World War II, probably in all of American history, is Bill Clinton. If you really believe in cutting debt, Bill Clinton's your president. Then we all know what George Bush did. He took that massive surplus and turned it into the greatest deficits again ever in American history, ending his term with more than $1 trillion in deficit. President Obama whittled that down year after year after year, bringing over $1 trillion in Bush deficit down to maybe $400 million or so. And now Republicans under Trump are out to blow a hole in the deficit again. And the reason is they never gave a damn about the deficit in the first place. It was always empty rhetoric. Next time a conservative tells you that he or she believes in small government, just laugh in their face. You're so funny. Who do you think you're fooling? Maybe you're fooling yourself, because I've always argued that Republicans don't give a damn about the deficit. They just have different priorities from the Democrats. Democrats want to spend money on helping working people, on helping middle class people, on helping those that are sick, those that are in need, helping rural people as well that are struggling. Remember Lyndon Johnson's rural electrification on helping achieve equality under the law, helping women, helping, you know, I work a lot on issues of domestic violence and sexual violence. We believe that we can help each other, that it takes a village, right? These are democratic progressive principles. Republicans believe in helping a very, very few people get extremely rich. That's their priority. That will always be their priority. So they're fine with polluting our air, polluting our rivers, dumping sludge in. Doesn't matter as long as the Koch brothers, worth hundreds of millions, billions of dollars, make more money. Because then the Koch brothers can funnel it into Republican campaigns, and at the end of the day, it's all about power. But helping big corporations, helping rich people succeed, just isn't really good talking point. I mean, it's true the Republican Party has been married to big business ever since William McKinley, frankly, in the 1896 election. But saying we are out to make rich people extremely rich just doesn't sell as a talking point. So that's where all this small government comes in. So why am I bringing this all up now? I think you know, or you should know. Because the same Republicans who cried about President Obama and his spending, people from Texas, and it's hard to get more Republican than Texas. Texas is a state all about self-reliance and get that government out of here, right? That's what Texas is all about. We don't want any government. We have very low taxes. We're not going to fund our schools or our roads or anything. Let people build their own roads, right? Let people build their own schools. Self-reliance. So much so that when a hurricane hits, named Sandy, hits the shores of New Jersey, Texas conservatives voted against aid. Let New Jerseyites pay for their own hurricane. And actually, when you look at conservative philosophy, on its face, it makes sense to pay for your own hurricane. You could get flood insurance. Why didn't you get flood insurance? What happened to self-reliance? What happened to responsibility? Well, those same Texans, of course, are begging the national government for money, for hundreds of billions of dollars in response to a terrible hurricane, Harvey. And Florida, that other big Republican state with that incredibly conservative Republican governor, is also insisting on billions of dollars in aid. And they need it now. Now, I don't begrudge the people of Texas and Florida a chance to rebuild after these horrible hurricanes, caused, by the way, or at least intensified dramatically by global warming, which is intensified dramatically by Republican policies that deny it exists. But help those Koch brothers, right? Because, you know, carbon pollution might just cut in their profits. They might not be worth $80 billion. They might be worth only $75 billion if we actually took care of climate change. And then how much could they donate to Republicans? Only a few paltry hundred million instead of, you know, the upper hundred millions. So all these Republican policies are coming home to roost. Climate change, global warming is causing real havoc. I hope to God no one is killed by Irma. I fear and frankly expect people will be. I'm sure there'll be massive, massive property destruction and floods because of Republican policies. And now Republicans want the money to pay for it. And what's fascinating, and I'm going to get to this after the break, is in the discussion of raising the debt ceiling, Republicans have completely showed their true colors. They're not for small government. They're just massive hypocrites. Want to call in? 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
Rumor has it he quotes the Constitution in his sleep. Is it super nerd? No, it's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. When conservatives attack, Mark Levin is ready, Constitution in hand. And here's our favorite lawyer now.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. I brought up in the first segment all the ways the Republicans have championed being the party of small government, the party of fiscal conservatism. You could argue it's their brand. It's what makes Paul Ryan excited. I mean, this is what he's thrilled about. You know, the idea of cutting Social Security, cutting Medicare, cutting Medicaid, leaving people on their own. If you're rich, you're in great shape. If you're poor, well, then become rich. Or, you know, rely on the kindness of neighbors. When I've talked about health care in these debates with Republicans, and I point out that people can't afford health care, that 80% of bankruptcies are caused by health care, that people should have paid family medical leave so they can care about their children being born or their parents on their deathbed. The Republican answer has been, you know, go to churches. Don't tax me just because you're sick. Don't tax me just because you're poor. It's not my fault. Don't blame me. You got a poor kid, go begging at your church. And they'll provide everything. Now, I do not mean in any way to knock the wonderful churches, synagogues, mosques, nonprofits, non-religious, atheist groups, secular humanists, who do really good charity work in our community. But the amount has never been enough, ever in American history. You can go back to the late 1890s and read The Jungle by Upton Sinclair. There were churches then, too, as massive amounts of people starved. No, what industrialized countries all over the world have learned is the only way to truly take care of everyone is big government, or at least functioning government. And yes, all right, don't run away now, some redistribution of wealth. Because you never know when you're suddenly going to go from rich to poor, maybe because of those health care costs. But this is what Republicans claim to love. Now, I've pointed out under Reagan, under Bush, that Republican presidents spend massive amounts of money, don't care about the debt. But under Clinton and under Obama, they claim to. This rhetoric comes around every time there's a Democratic president. Then they suddenly care about deficits. And it's not because they give a damn about the national debt. Sorry, even though their clocks are ticking on their websites. It's because they don't support Democratic priorities. They don't want funds going to train workers. They don't want money going to clean the environment. They disagree. And that's okay. I mean, it's okay for people to disagree. Some people believe that clean air and clean water is a good thing. Others believe that just let people pollute as much as they want. And, you know, if you don't like it, don't buy their products. Let the free market handle it. There are true differences of opinion, but it's not about the size and scope of government. Don't ever believe that conservatives and liberals disagree on the size and scope of government. They just don't. And the clearest example of this is the debt ceiling. Now, the debt ceiling is a completely arbitrary thing. Congress votes every year to spend so much money. Congress votes every year through tax policy to take in so much money. And the amount that they spend over the amount that they tax is the deficit. That's the definition of the deficit. And every year they have to pay for it. So where did this debt ceiling come from? Does it make any sense? And why is Donald Trump and Democratic Majority Leader Chuck Schumer talking about getting rid of it? Something I support. I'll explain when we come back right after this. 888-48-MARK if you want to call.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about the debt ceiling and how the recent deal made yesterday basically proves the hypocrisy of the Republican Party that I've argued about for some time. There was no debt ceiling in the United States prior to the Wilson administration. Actually, prior to 1917 or so, the government would simply issue, would pay for its debts, or if it had to issue bonds, it would issue bonds, it would say a specific amount, all of that would be authorized by the United States Congress. In fact, after the Civil War, when the Union wanted to make sure that Union debts would be paid off, but Confederate debts would not be paid off, they put in as part of the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution, Section 4. This is not a section that's often discussed, but it says the validity of the public debt of the United States authorized by law including debts incurred for payment of pensions and bounties for services in suppressing insurrection or rebellion, shall not be questioned. But neither the United States nor any state shall assume or pay any debt or obligation incurred in aid of insurrection or rebellion against the United States, or any claim for the loss or emancipation of any slave, but all such debts, obligations, and claims shall be held illegal and void. So you can see what it was trying to do. It was trying to say Union debts are paid, Confederate debts are not paid, no, we're not compensating you for any slaves. That was the purpose of Section 4 of the 14th Amendment. But the heart of it still says, quote, the validity of the public debt of the United States authorized by law shall not be questioned. It includes debts paid to stop civil war, but really any debt. You can't question it. Well, since 1917, Congress has arguably been doing just that. With the creation of the Federal Reserve, which allowed bonds and things to go out and money to be printed and so forth without being under the direct control of Congress. With the creation of the federal income tax, that's another amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Congress didn't want to directly authorize each and every bond issue. So they set a debt ceiling. And the debt ceiling was Congress would appropriate so much money. It can go up into debt so much. And then every few years or so, the debt ceiling was increased because inflation and modern economy and, you know, the debt kept going up. So we've had a debt ceiling for 100 years. 2017, this is the 100th anniversary of the debt ceiling. And I would argue it's about time to end it, to retire it. We don't need a debt ceiling. It may have made sense 100 years ago, or certainly 200 years ago, when we were not a nation we're a nation that had difficulty getting money in, difficulty getting others to invest in us. The dollar was unsure, and we needed to make sure that we could pay every debt. But today, we're the strongest currency in the world. Everybody wants U.S. dollars. We have never defaulted on our national debt. In fact, the only thing that suggests we might default is this silly debt ceiling, because Congress has already authorized the money. They've already appropriated the money. They've already spent the money. The debt ceiling is not about how much Congress should spend. We can still have arguments over whether Congress should spend so much on defense, so much on Social Security, so much on our national parks. The debt ceiling says, shall we pay the debts that we've already expended? And the answer to that question should always be yes. But Republicans have used the debt ceiling for decades now as a cudgel, as a way to attack Democratic presidents. As I said, why has spending been really out of control under Ronald Reagan and George Bush and George Bush Jr.? Well, because the Republicans in Congress don't use the debt ceiling against Republican presidents because they really don't give a damn about the debt at all. That's my point. The whole thing's hypocritical. But against Bill Clinton, against Jimmy Carter, against Barack Obama, they use this debt ceiling as a way to get their priorities. They claim it's about government spending. But as we've seen, it's not about government spending. Republicans are happy to spend a lot of money on subsidies for oil companies. They just don't want to spend it on cleaning up our air or our water. They're happy to spend money on corporate tax cuts to making people on Wall Street very rich. They don't want to spend money on schools or on workers' rights or on health care. So this priority discussion was pretended to be one about debt. Of course, it never was. What's interesting is, and it proves that the Republicans do not want this weapon to be used against them, against a Republican president, is that even though they harped on it and even almost shut the government down under, well, they did shut the government down under Bill Clinton. They almost shut it down under President Obama. They didn't want this weapon to be used at all against their president, against Donald Trump. So Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, said yesterday that let's just extend the debt ceiling for 18 months. Let's just put, we'll make it the number, whatever it is, 18 months from now. Just let it go. Well, 18 months, let's see, September plus 18 months. Oh, that conveniently gets us past the 2018 elections. And then we don't have to worry about competing priorities. We don't have to worry about guns or butter. We don't have to worry about protecting the Dreamers or funding health care versus funding corporate tax cuts, which is what Republicans want and is very expensive. We won't have anything controlling us. We don't want the Democrats to be able to use the debt ceiling to control our massive spending when we want to do it. And what's our massive spending on? It's going to be on reducing taxes for corporations, because that's their biggest priority. That's why Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell roll their eyes and accept the insane lunatic who doesn't know anything about policy, who is our current president, right? Because they're going to get tax cuts. I can't tell you how many Republicans have come to me and said, yeah, I held my nose and vote for Donald Trump. Of course I realize that he's mentally unstable. I'm not an idiot. My eyes are open. And no, I don't support the way he brags about committing sexual assault. And no, I don't support his racist, clearly racist tendencies. No. I support Donald Trump because I want a tax cut. And I'm willing to hold my nose and accept the racism, accept the immigrant bashing, accept the homophobia, accept the misogyny. I'll accept all of it. Just give me my tax cut. That's why Paul Ryan sticks with him. That's why Mitch McConnell sticks with him. They all want that tax cut. But the problem with the tax cut is, of course, it costs a lot of money for the government. And Republicans love to claim they want small government, but they never talk about how they're going to pay for everything they want to do. And in fact, one of the fun little parlor games I have anytime a conservative claims they care about small government is I say, what would you cut? I go on CNBC and say, what would you cut? What would you cut? And you have to push and you push and you push. And finally they admit, we'd cut Social Security. We'd cut Medicare. We believe that people who've paid into the system should lose pensions and health care. That's if you push them really hard. Usually they just avoid answering the question. Sometimes they say government waste and abuse. That's always fun. And I say, which waste and abuse? You know, all that government waste and abuse. The point is that the tax cuts will cost trillions of dollars. That's not in our budget. So the Republicans want to get rid of the debt ceiling for 18 months because they don't want it to be used against them. Well, the Democrats said, look, you want this hurricane relief. You want it now. We're not against hurricane relief, even though you Texans were against hurricane relief for Superstorm Sandy, right? That hurricane, that tropical storm, you don't want to pay for. You just want it when it hits Texas. But, okay, fine. We're not going to go against our principles just to harm the American people, right? We understand that we believe that hurricane aid is something government should pay for, and we'll do it. But we only want to extend the debt ceiling for 3 months. Why? Well, because in 3 months, we're going to have all these big battles. Yes, about taxes, also about the Dreamers. We want to pass a bill to make sure that, and I talked about this yesterday, the kids who grew up in America, brought here by undocumented parents through no fault of their own, have a chance to succeed in America. We have other concerns. We want to protect health care. We want to make sure that the Republicans don't sabotage it anymore. And this all requires the budget. And yeah, the debt ceiling's a weapon. And you Republicans used it year after year after year. And now, by making it only 3 months long, we can now use it. And lo and behold, and for all of you who attack Nancy Pelosi and attack Chuck Schumer, time for you to recognize what a good job they did. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer played this president very well. They deserve some credit for that. All of you attacking Democrats never do anything. Under incredible difficulty, even in the minority, let's give Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi a lot of credit for what they did. That's not a huge deal. It's not a major priority. But just by making sure that the debt ceiling expires in 3 months, the Democrats have made sure they have skin in the game, which, of course, is why Republicans are so upset about it. But here's the thing that I find most interesting. There has now been a leaked report that Chuck Schumer and Donald Trump have made a deal. The deal is to get rid of the debt ceiling entirely. Now, for Trump, he's happy to have that because it gives away the Democrats give away their weapon. They give away the weapon of the debt ceiling. They can't use it as they're going to use it in 3 months to insist on their priorities. So I get what Trump gets out of it. But you know what Schumer gets out of it? Not short-term gain, but incredible long-term gain. He gets an admission, first of all, that it's a silly, ridiculous thing that, by the way, I've always felt was unconstitutional. Remember Section 4 of the 14th Amendment? The validity of the public debt of the United States, authorized by law, shall not be questioned. I always thought President Obama should have cited Section 4 of the 14th Amendment and just ignored the debt ceiling when Republicans complained and seen if the courts would have enforced us to go to a default. I don't think they would have. But by getting rid of it, we could finally get rid of this stupid argument, this hypocrisy, that Republicans care about the national debt when they don't, that they care about small government when they don't. We've already incurred these debts. Let's pay for the debts. And if you want different priorities, fine, focus on different priorities. But stop these stupid threats of government shutdown. Stop these stupid threats that, if it were to actually occur, would incredibly disrupt the entire world economy. If we actually were, for one day, not to pay interest on our bonds, then all the trillions of dollars that people all over the world stash in America wouldn't be safe anymore. People would pull out. We'd have an economic collapse. We'd have a worldwide depression, all from that. So let's get rid of the public debt. Yeah, Donald Trump, in the short term, doesn't get Democrats to have this weapon over him. But in the long term, we get rid of this stupid. It's a stupid weapon. You don't threaten the nuclear option. You don't threaten to shut the government down. You don't threaten to not pay on the national debt. Just get rid of it all. And then we can have an argument. And but we should still note, and I'm going to talk about this after the break, that Republicans are not the party of small government. When it comes to what they want, corporate taxes, making sure that rich CEOs get even richer. Because, you know, it's hard to live on $300 million when you only have a few small islands and 10 or 20 houses. That's their focus. While Democrats are focused on working people. Let's have a discussion over America's real priority and get rid of these ridiculous tactics. And if Donald Trump and Chuck Schumer succeed in doing that, you're going to hear me do something that I don't think I have done thus far in my life. You're going to hear me praise Donald Trump. 888-488-MARK if you want to call. 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. You can follow me on Twitter at Mark Levin Talk, MarkLevinETalk, where I have posted a poll. The poll asks, are Republicans like Ted Cruz hypocrites for voting against aid for Superstorm Sandy victims, but for aid for Hurricane Harvey victims? Cast your vote now. So far, 90% say Republicans are hypocrites. 10% say no, but you can cast your vote there. In the Washington Post is a really good article that encapsulates all that I've been talking about. It's an op-ed by Paul Waldman, who is a writer at the liberal magazine The American Prospect. Let me quote a little bit from what he had to say. Republicans are seething, he writes, about the fact that President Trump just agreed with Democrats to pair a Hurricane Harvey relief package with a three-month extension of the debt ceiling and a bill to fund the government for the same amount of time instead of the 18-month extension of the debt ceiling the GOP wanted. So how goes the great conservative ideological crusade? Think about it for a moment. Republicans are mad because their preferred option, a huge government aid package, coupled with taking off the table a tool they used to try to compel spending cuts when Barack Obama was president, has been pushed aside in favor of a huge government aid package, coupled with keeping that tool around. In other words, both options validated big government. And now Republicans are saying it's terribly irresponsible not to increase the debt ceiling. I'm paraphrasing the article now. They're the ones arguing that we need smooth functioning of government. rather than ideological battles shutting it down, which they did every year. Every year Barack Obama was president. Back to the article, quote, "This wasn't how they envisioned things going back in 2016 when they resigned themselves to Donald Trump being the leader of their party. Sure, he was an unstable, ignorant buffoon who ran a nakedly racist campaign and got caught bragging about his ability to sexually assault women with impunity. And sure, he doesn't seem to care much about their ideological agenda. But what were they going to do? Vote for Hillary Clinton or a third-party candidate? Not on your life. As Grover Norquist said, all they needed was, quote, to pick a Republican with enough working digits to handle a pen to be president of the United States, unquote. They'd send him one sweeping bill after another, he'd sign them, and before you knew it, we'd be all living in the glorious small government paradise Milton Friedman and Ayn Rand promised us. But something went wrong. As they found out when they tried to repeal the Affordable Care Act, Americans actually love big government. They might respond to all the vague rhetoric about self-reliance and getting government off their backs, but when it comes to things the government actually does, they want even more of it. They don't want Medicaid slashed. They don't want tens of millions of Americans to lose their health coverage. When they looked at the free market and its cruelty for health care that Republicans were offering, they recoiled in horror. And then came the hurricanes. They reminded everyone that when your house floods or blows down, you look to the federal government for help. There are no libertarians in the aftermath of a natural disaster. Even the Texas GOP, which has complete control of the state, loves nothing more than to shake its fist at government interference from Washington and tell all those dastardly bureaucrats to get their noses out of the Lone Star State's business, is now begging the federal government for a bailout. Not so self-reliant now, are we? Paul Waldman makes clear that Trump is making progress on Republicans' goals of making sure we have more pollution so that we don't burden those that want to pollute with regulation and so forth. But when it comes to big government, Donald Trump is proving that that's who Republicans are these days, aren't they? Let's go to the phones. We'll go to Reggie, line 3 in Georgia. Hey, Reggie, how are you?
I would just like to say, how come when Democratic presidents are in the House, in the White House, they're against everything that he represents and tries to stand for or advocate, but when it's one of their own Republicans that are sitting in the White House, in the Oval Office of the White House, they're for it. They advocate, defend, and support it.
But he answers one word, hypocrisy. Republicans don't care about small government. They really don't. They claim they do, and maybe there's a few libertarian young men who read Ayn Rand and just love it and really believe that we can all survive from birth to death without relying on anyone else's help. Because, gosh darn it, that one-day-old baby will just have to feed itself. I mean, there are people who believe in that kind of self-reliance, but they're not a majority of the Republicans. They're not even a significant minority of the Republicans. Republicans believe in using that rhetoric to win races. But when it comes down to government aid, all those Texas and Florida Republicans are on their hands and knees begging for aid. And you know what? I'm fine with aiding them. I just wish they wouldn't complain when New Jersey needs aid, right? I wish they wouldn't complain about the debt when they want to spend all this money for hurricane relief. They're just hypocrites. There's no other answer, Reggie.
Yes, they are hypocritical. And they try to stop everything that former President Barack Obama tried to do in his 8 years of the presidency.
That's right. Let's all recall the Affordable Care Act, which the Republicans call Obamacare, came from something called Romney Care from Mitt Romney in Massachusetts, which originally got it from the Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank. The Affordable Care Act is a step forward, but it was never as good as single payer, never as good as universal health care, Medicare for all. But as soon as a Democrat proposed it, Republicans opposed it, making clear that politics for them will always be above principle. This is Mark Levine. See you Monday. Signing off.